A lot has changed when it comes to marijuana, hasn't it? We've gone from a growing understanding of its value for medical purposes to an increasing legal public, albeit limited access to marijuana for recreational use. One thing that has yet to change, despite promises been made by the current and the previous presidential administrations, that would be the federal law which classifies marijuana for federal criminal law purposes. The next guest has been one of the strongest voices calling for this change to the federal law. It's known as scheduling to be done. He had to explain what sounds like a simple change, how much it would mean in many aspects. He is the CEO and co-founder of the National Cannabis Industry Association, Aaron Smith. How are you today, Aaron?
Great. Thanks for having me.
And find out more about the National Cannabis Industry Association, this issue and the others at the address, thecannabisindustry.org is their website. Build a foundation for the listener, Aaron. What is scheduling when it comes to, in this case, marijuana, and what does the scheduling entail in its current status?
Yeah, so, you know, the Controlled Substances Act, which controls all of the drugs in the country under federal law, established a system in which, you know, drugs are ranked according to their potential for abuse and their medicinal value. And, you know, this was passed in the Nixon administration during the culture wars of the 1970s. And marijuana was, at the time, falsely placed in the status of Schedule One, which means that, according to federal law, it has zero medicinal value and a high potential for abuse. Now, of course, we know that that's, you know, all of the science and evidence from the decades and decades of research show that that is an inappropriate place for this particular product, which is much safer than you know, many legal drugs like alcohol.
And with the, you know, you referenced as far as use, where does this come into play when it comes to medicinal use and medical research with marijuana? Is the current scheduling status more restrictive and limiting? Is it prohibiting possibilities and potential to further medical studies?
Absolutely. I mean, this is one of the, you know, most kind of ridiculous aspects of the Controlled Substances Act, is that it's very, very difficult, if not impossible, to conduct any research on Schedule One drugs. So it's the, you know, the government declares they have no value, but then there's no opportunity to do research to determine whether or not that's even correct assessment. That said, there has been piles of research and evidence that have been conducted in places like Israel and Canada and UK and across the world that have, you know, more forward-looking cannabis policies that have, you know, demonstrably proven that cannabis has very significant value.
I mean, that whole concept doesn't make sense, because let's just say a highly addictive drug is on Schedule One. If you can't research the drug to find a way to lower its addictive forces, then what exactly is going to ever change regarding the highly addictive drug?
Yeah, that's exactly the scenario that we faced for decades. And it's tragic, because there are lives that have been, you know, that have been harmed or could have been saved if they, you know, if people had access to cannabis medicine. People have cancer and epilepsy and all of these conditions, which are widely known as being, you know, cannabis being very helpful in treating.
So you're calling, along with other organizations, and this has been going on now for a couple of years, as I mentioned back in the introduction, the Biden administration made promises to make the change, and the incoming now current Trump administration has done likewise, calling for marijuana to go from a Schedule One drug to a Schedule Three drug. So what does that difference mean as far as marijuana is concerned?
So the way that, you know, this removed marijuana from Schedule One, which is alongside drugs like heroin, and down to Schedule Three, which would be alongside drugs like ketamine or anabolic steroids. So these are still highly controlled substances, but have the ability, you know, doctors who have the ability to prescribe, that the product would need to go through FDA approval in order to be dispensed in pharmacies. But so what that means is that the current system in place in most states, that 40 states now have some kind of legal medical or adult use cannabis market. This would not legalize those operations. This would simply create a pathway for research. And then most importantly for the industry, it would relieve some of the unfair tax burden that the legal industry faces. Under the current law, businesses that are in operating compliance with state law selling cannabis cannot deduct any of their expenses because of the Schedule I status. So they're paying taxes on gross receipts. Moving this to Schedule III would resolve that mess.
And when you take into account, too, some of these retail operations in particular, in some cases, the larger cities, they lay out up to and maybe even excess of $1 million even before they open their doors because of the procedures that they have to go through. And to get a break like this would certainly improve the foundation, the financial foundation that they're resting on. We're talking with Aaron Smith, CEO and co-founder of the National Cannabis Industry Association. Thecannabisindustry.org is their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. So as I referenced a moment ago, Aaron, the Biden administration said, yeah, this sounds like a good idea. Let's go ahead and do this. And then it seemed to have stalled. What's been the reason, the force behind this delay and inaction?
So the process was moving pretty slow, which is normal for any federal rulemaking change when you're trying to undo decades of prohibition. But there was also it became pretty clear that there were forces within the DEA that did not support the move for Schedule One, and unsurprisingly. Regardless of where the president and the attorney general were at, you have career DEA that just were reluctant to change. And so I think there was some collusion happening or the coordination with opponents that was uncovered, and that the administrative law judge in the case ended up putting a hold on the whole review process. And then of course, we had a change in administrations, a change in DEA administrator, a long period of time where there wasn't a DEA administrator. That Administrator Cole was just confirmed earlier this week. And this just dragged the process on. But I'm hopeful for a few reasons. One is that the current president has also signaled support for this reform, but has also made it clear that, what he calls deep state actors cannot be undermining or circumventing the will of the voters or his policy agenda. And so regardless of where DEA employees sit on this issue, they need to be listening to the president and the White House and moving forward.
Is it just the DEA that has the, for lack of a better phrase, the expert oversight on this issue, or does Health and Human Services come into the picture in any way, shape, or form?
Well, Health and Human Services advises the DEA on the schedule status, but the DEA is the only agency that has the authority to change it. So HHS already advised that this should move from Schedule 1 to 3, but DEA has to be, they are the only agency that has the authority to make the change other than Congress. Congress also has that authority.
Just to wrap up here, if or when marijuana becomes a Schedule 3 drug, is that going to put it more in line with most of the state laws that address marijuana, individual state by state?
Well, it's important to recognize that it actually would not change the state laws at all, and it wouldn't legalize these businesses under federal law. They still would technically be running afoul of federal law. They would just be selling Schedule III substances rather than Schedule I substances because out of compliance with federal law, because none of these businesses as they currently operate are set up to get the FDA approval. Schedule 3 is only legal for patients that receive a prescription from their doctor under very limited conditions. Most Americans already live in a state that has adult use cannabis being sold legally to adults over 21. So this is getting federal law caught up to the mid 90s is where public opinion and state law has been. California, for example, has had medical cannabis since 1996. So This is just an incremental step forward, definitely not the end goal here.
Yeah, if you look poll after poll, we have to wrap up here, but if you look in survey and poll, it's all a vast majority in favor of expansion of legalization, and certainly going from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3 would fall in line with that public opinion. Learn more about this, other issues, visit the website for the National Cannabis Industry Association, thecannabisindustry.org. He is their CEO and co-founder, Aaron Smith. Aaron, thank you for helping us better understand what might sound complicated, but it would be a very positive change in a lot of ways for personal as well as professional medical reasons. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.